This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchis Shabbos, Chapter 8. This chapter contains 16 halachas. In the previous chapter, we listed the 39 principal categories of malacha which are forbidden on Shabbos. In this chapter, the Rambam will discuss in a little bit more depth and detail the first 10 of these malachas. Halacha Aleph. The first malacha that we learned was choyresh, plowing. Ha-choyresh kol shehu chayiv. The Rambam says that the minimum amount of the malacha of choyresh, the malacha of plowing, is even the smallest quantity possible. That is, there is no minimum. No matter how small an amount of earth is dug up in the plowing operation, chayev, the person who did so is chayev, he is to be punished. Ha-menachesh b'ikrei ilhoilonis, one who cultivates or hoes the roots, at the roots of the trees, in order to soften the ground and let air in and remove the weeds. Va-makarseim asovim, and one who picks out the dried up grasses that are there that have dried out, or one who removes the softened and spoiled branches of the vines, and all of this is, if he does it with the intention of improving the ground, of making the land better for growing, this is all, since he has done all this with the ground, all of this is a derivative of plowing. And if he does any one of these activities, even in the slightest amount, chayev, he is guilty and he is punished. And similarly, one who smooths or flattens out the contours of the field, kigoin shehishpil hatel veridedoi, for example, if there was a place where the earth was piled in a mound, there was a high place, a mound, and he knocks it down and flattens it, oimile hagai, or there's a low place, a place where there's a hole or a ditch, and he fills it in, so that now the contours of the land are flat, chayev. In either case, he is guilty and he is punished, mishum choyrish, because he has done the malacha of plowing, since he has done something to the ground that improves it. Vishiyure kolsho, in all of these cases, there is no minimum amount, even the smallest amount, he is punished. Vechein kol amash vegumais, and similarly, any case where there are grooves or ditches or ruts in the ground, and he straightens them out and smooths them out, shiurei kol shehu, he is punished, and even if he does the smallest amount, halacha beis hazireya kol shehu chayiv. The second malacha was planting seeds. If he plants seeds, even the slightest amount, there is no minimum quantity, chayiv, he is punished. Hazoimer esoilon. Now another av malacha that comes under the same category is zoimer, pruning, even though he's removing something from the tree, but he does it so that the tree will grow better, and therefore this is similar to planting. If he prunes the tree, kedesha yitzmach, if his purpose in pruning it is so that it'll grow better, hareza meyein zeireya, then this is another form of planting. Aval hamashkem tzmochim vilonis b'shabbos. However, if he irrigates, if he pours water on plants and trees on Shabbos, hareza tildis zeireya, this is a derivative of planting, v'chayev kol shehu, and b'chol shehu, and he is guilty and he is punished even for the smallest amount. V'chein hasheir echitim usoyrim v'chayetzi ben b'mayim, and so also if one soaks wheat kernels or barley corns or similar seeds in water in order to make them sprout, hareza tildezereya, this is a derivative of planting, v'chayev b'chol shehu, and he is punished even for the smallest amount. Halocha gimel, ha-koitzer, the third malocha, harvesting, kig. Here we have a minimum quantity. If he harvests the minimum quantity, the size of a fig, chayiv, then he is punished. Va'toilish, teildes keitzehu, and removing it from the ground by pulling it out with the hand is also a derivative of harvesting. The harvesting itself involves cutting it off with a tool. Here he has pulled it out with his hand. This is a derivative. And anyone who in any manner uproots something from the place where it's growing, he is punished because of harvesting. And therefore, it doesn't have to grow in the ground. If we have a stone in which some sort of grass or moss is growing, or a kind of a fuzzy growth, a hair-like grassy growth that grows on some sort of a bush, on the trunk of a bush, vasovim shetzamchu al gabi hechovis, or a hair-like growth that grows on the outside of a barrel, hatelish memchayev, anyone who removes it from that place where it's growing is punished. Shezehu mekom gidulam, because even though it's not in the ground, this is where it's growing. However, someone who removes something that's growing in a sealed container, which has no holes in it, potter, then he is not to be punished. Because this is not considered a place where it grows. However, if the container in which it was growing had a hole in it, if the hole was large enough that a small, thin root could grow through it, such a container is considered as the ground itself, and who removes it from there is punished. Any kind of a growth or vegetation that is such that cutting it makes it grow even more and makes it grow bigger. Kigoin aspasta. Aspasta is a kind of a green plant, something like alfalfa, vesilka. Silka is a turnip or beet-like plant of which the greens are eaten. V'hakoitzrei. Whoever removes this, whoever harvests this unknowingly, without knowing that this is forbidden, he is punished in that he has to offer two sin offerings. One of them for harvesting, because he's removed the growth from the place where it's growing. And a second one, because in the same act, he has also done the act of planting. Since this makes it grow more, this is a derivative of planting. And so also one who prunes a tree, and in addition to making the tree grow better, he also has need of the wood that he's pruning off. He needs it for firewood. He has to bring two sin offerings, once for harvesting and once for planting. Gavshushes shall offer a clump of earth that sits on the ground, in which grasses are growing. If he picks it up from the ground, the whole clump with the grass that's on it, so the grass is still attached to the clump. If he picks it up from the ground, and he puts it on some sort of a raised platform, Chayev Mishum Telish. Then he is punished because he has removed it from the ground. Hoyso al gabi yisaydis v'nicho al aretz. If this clump of earth with the grass growing in it was on some platform, and he took it from there and put it onto the ground, Chayev Mishum Zireya. Then he is punished for planting. Thainim sheyovshu be'ibeihem. Figs that have dried out while they're still on the twigs growing on the tree, and so also any other tree in which the fruits have dried out while they are still on the tree, whoever plucks them off the tree on Shabbos is punished, because they are considered as if they're still growing on the tree. As far as Shabbos is concerned, even though, as we will learn, the details in Hilchus Tumah Seichlim concerning Tumah, concerning ritual uncleanliness, they are considered as if they were already off the tree, but for Shabbos they are considered on the tree. Halacha hei, hatoilish olshin, one who uproots chicory. This is a leafy plant that has a bitter taste. He uproots it from the ground. Hamizari zardim, or one who removes certain very soft and moist twigs that are edible as they are, imla achila, if his intention was to do it for human consumption, shiurei kegregeris, then the minimum amount he must remove in order to be punished is kegregeris, the amount of a fig. V'im lebehema, if he These things are also edible. Often they're used for animal food. In the behema, if he intended it for animal consumption, shiurei kimloi pi gdi, then the minimum quantity is the amount that would fill the mouth of a baby goat. The imla hasaka, if his intention was to use these things for firewood, for fuel, shiurei kidei levashel beya, then the minimum quantity is the amount that can make a fire that is needed for cooking an egg. Actually, it's not the whole egg, but the amount that you need to cook a fig-size portion of an egg. Ham'amir ochlin. Now the next malach is ham'amir, piling up or arranging the harvested produce. Ham'amir ochlin, one who piles up edibles, im la'achilo, if his intention is to put it that way because he's going to use it for food, shiurik gregris, the minimum quantity is a fig-size, Omar lebehema, if he piled it up to use for animal consumption, shiurikim lepigdi, the minimum quantity is the amount that fills the mouth of a baby goat, vimlaasoka, and if for fuel, shiurai kedei levashel beya, then the minimum quantity is the amount that can make a fire large enough to cook an egg. Ubeya ha'amura b'chol mokim, and every place where we say here an egg, what kind of an egg do we mean? Hibeya beinenis shel tarnegolim, we mean a medium-sized chicken's egg. B'chol mokim shenoimar kedei levashel beya, wherever we say that the amount is in order to cook an egg, who kedei levashel kegregris mi beya, we don't mean the whole egg, as I've just stated, we mean a fig-sized quantity of egg. Ugregris echot mishleisha bebeya. How much is a fig? A fig is one-third of an egg. The ein imur ela bigdulei karka, and this melocha of imur, of piling up or arranging, only applies to things that grow on the ground. Halacha vav, hamekabeitz devela v'osam imena agula, one who takes dates and presses them together to make one clump of pressed dates, oishenokav te'enim, or he makes holes, he punctures holes in figs, v'hichnis hachevel b'hem, and he puts a string through the holes, achi yitzkab tzuguf echot, until it's all made into one thing, harei zeteilis ma'armer, in either of these cases, it's a derivative of piling, v'chayav, and he is punished, v'chenkol kayetzibazen, and so the law in any similar case. Halocha zayin, hadosh kegroigiris, one who threshes. Threshing means after the wheat has been harvested, the kernels that you need are together with the chaff and the skin, and this has to be removed by applying pressure to it. Either we beat it with something, or animals trample on it, or we do something that cracks the outside so that the inside, that the edible portion can be removed from it. Whoever does this in the minimum amount of a fig, chayav, he is punished. Ve'indisha ela bigdulei karka, and this malocha of threshing only applies to things that grow in the ground. Ve'hamefarik, and anyone who crushes something in any manner for this purpose, something that grows from the ground, if he crushes it for the purpose of separating the edible portion from the inedible, l'rehi teildes hadosh, this is a derivative of threshing, v'chayev, and he's punished. V'chein kol kayetzibaz, and so any similar operation. Ha'choyleves ha'behema, one who milks a cow, chayev mishum mefarik, he is guilty because this is a derivative of the crushing, since he squeezes the udders of the animal in order to remove the milk from it. V'chein ha'choyvel, similarly, one who causes an injury in any living creature that has a skin, so that we had the living creature was a whole creature enclosed in his skin, and now that he injures it, the blood that was inside comes out, then he is also punished because of crushing. But only if he has need of the blood that comes out from this wound, because then he has removed the blood from the animal. However, if it was only his intention to cause injury, not to use the blood, potter, then he is not punished, because he is destroying it, as we learned in chapter 1, if his intention was destructive, he is not punished. And in any case, he is not punished unless the blood or the milk that he removed is in the minimum quantity of a fig. When do we say the above law? that if it was his intention to cause injury and not to receive to obtain blood, then he is destructive and he is not punished. Someone who injures an animal or a bird or some similar living creature, however, one who intends to cause injury to his fellow man, even though his intention is destructive, he is punished. Nevertheless, because in the end he did do something constructive, he has made himself feel better, because his anger has been relieved, and he's no longer angry, and therefore he's done something constructive. And therefore, even though he has no need for the blood that he removed, chayav, he is punished because he did do something constructive. Thereby, halacha tes, shmeinu shrotzim ha'amurim b'Torah, the eight creeping creatures that are mentioned in the Torah and Parshas Shmini, heim sheyesh lehem oiras l'inyan Shabbos, only these are considered creatures, creeping creatures that have a skin, so far as Shabbos is concerned. We said that only creatures that are enclosed in a skin, if he injures them and removes blood, he is punished. For example, wild beasts and domesticated animals and birds. Ein lahem or. However, other creeping things do not share this. The eight creeping things that are mentioned in the Torah are the same as any other mammal or bird, and they are considered to have skin. But any other creeping or crawling thing is not considered to have a skin. It has a shell or some other kind of a skeleton on the outside, but not a skin. Lafichach, and therefore, achoivel behem, anyone who injures them, potter, he is not to be punished, because he has not removed the blood from some discrete object. And it doesn't matter whether he is causing this injury to an animal, to a beast, to a bird, or to one of these eight creatures. If he caused, either if he injures them, or he causes an injury, when blood comes out, or even if blood did not come out, the blood didn't come out, it merely gathered together, he broke blood vessels, and the blood gathers under the skin, but it does not come out, it causes a black and blue mark. If there's blood gathered there, he is punished. One who squeezes fruit in order to remove its juice, he is punished. For crushing, because he's applying pressure to the fruit in order to remove the juice which he desires to drink. He's not punished unless the amount of juice that he pressed out is at least the size of a fig. By Torah law, he is not punished unless he crushed and pressed out either olives for their juice or grapes for their wine. But for other fruits, he is not punished by Torah law, only by rabbinical decree. It's permitted to take a cluster of grapes and to squeeze the juice out of it if the juice runs directly over some food. Because by law, we consider any juice that runs into a solid food to be solid, and now he is therefore only separated one food from another, not a liquid from a food. However, if he squeezes it into an empty bowl, an utensil, a container that has no food in it, then he is pressing, and he is guilty and punished. One who milks an animal directly into some food, or he sucks it directly with his mouth, potter, he is not punished. He's only punished if he milks it into a container. The melacha of winnowing, after the threshing, you take the wheat that is now mixed together with the crushed chaff, and you throw it up in the wind. The chaff, which is very light, is blown away with the wind, and the kernels, which are heavy, fall down. You do it several times, you have clean kernels with the chaff removed. Or one who selects the worthless matter, the inedible matter, out from the edible matter, kegregeris, if he does either of these melachas in the amount of an fig, chayav, he is punished. V'hamechabetz, and one who put something into milk that causes it to curdle. We discussed this in the last chapter. Harehu tail is better. This is a derivative of selecting. V'chein haber shmarim mitecha mashkim. Similarly, one who removes the residue, the pulp from some kind of a juice, hareza teildes beira, this is a derivative of selecting, or teildes merakiv, or a derivative of sifting, v'chayev, in either case he's punished, shahazeira v'abeira v'amerakid, because these three malachas of winnowing, selecting, and sifting, doimim in yoneim zelazeh, they're all similar one to another, they're all the same thing, that is selecting out the edible from the inner and the inedible, and separating them. And therefore, why are they considered three separate avis malocha? Because in preparing the chemicals that grow on the ground and were used for dyes in the Mishkan, they did all three of these forms, and anything, any form of malocha that was done in preparing the Mishkan in the wilderness is counted as a separate malocha by itself. Halacha yudbeis habayir eichel mitech pseilus, one who selects out. There are two ways of doing it. You can take the edible portion out and leave behind the inedible, or you can take the inedible and leave behind the edible. Habayir eichel mitech pseilus, one who selects out and removes the edible portion from the inedible, or shehayu lefanav shnei minei eichlim, or he had two edible things before him, ubeirad min mimin acher, and he separates one from the other, one kind from another, binafa over kivra, with a sifter or a strainer, chayev, he is punished. Biknoina betamchui, these are various forms of pot or bowl in which he shakes it about, and once a kind settles to the bottom and one comes to the top, and then he pours off the one that's on the top. Potter, now he's not punished for this. Vibir biyodi lech liarter, and if he selects it out by hand for immediate consumption, mutar, not only is he not punished, but it's permitted altogether. Halacha yud gimel, v'habir psilas mitecha eichel, now the opposite way, one who selects out and removes the inedible portion, leaving behind the edible, afilu biyadei achas, even if he did it by hand, even with one hand, chayev, he is punished. V'habir turmesin mitech psilas shalahem chayev, one who selects out, even by hand, certain beans from the inedible portion that's there, chayev, he is punished. These are beans that are bitter, and if they're allowed to sit with the shell, with the chaff of them, they become edible. Here, therefore, even though he has removed the edible portion, he is punished, because the inedible portion, it makes them sweet, when he leaves it soaking together, and therefore here, he has removed what is presently inedible from something that will make it edible, and therefore it's considered as if he had removed the inedible portion from the edible portion, v'chayev, and therefore he's punished. Habeir eichel mitech pseilus biyodei, one who selects the edible portion out from the inedible biyodei, even by hand, which we said is permitted for immediate consumption, if he did it la'anichoi, to leave it behind, not to eat it instantly, afilu l'levoi v'yoyim, even if he's going to eat it the same day, but later, not now, nasa keber loitze, this is considered as if he selected it to put it away in storage, v'chayev, and he's punished. Of shnei minei eichlim meyrovim, if he has two kinds of edible food mixed together, boirer echod meyacher umeiniach lechul miyat, he can separate one from the other and put it aside for immediate consumption. If he selected it and separated it and put it aside for storage for some future time, even if he's going to use it later that same day, but not now, for example, if he separated them in the morning to eat in the afternoon, chayev, he's punished. Halacha yudalit, hameshamer yayin, one who strains wine, oy shemen, or oil, or mayim, or water, b'cheshar mashkin, or some other liquid, b'meshamer shalahem, with a strainer that's specially made for that, chayev, he is punished. But it's only if the amount that he filters is the amount of an fig. Aval misaninim yayim shein b'shmarim, however, we can take wine which has no pulp in it, no residue, and we may say, filter it, or mayim slulim, or water that is already clear, it has nothing in it, we can filter it through a besudrin, through a cloth, ubekvifa mitzris, or through a basket made out of date leaves, kedeshe heitzol b'yoyser, in order to make it more clear, more sparkling. And you can put water, you can pour water through a filter that's made of wine lees in order to make the water more sparkly. You can take a beaten egg and pour it through the sifter of that's made for mustard sauce, kedeshe yitzlal, in order to make it clearer. Chardul shalosh meyarv Shabbos, mustard that was made, mixed into a sauce from Friday, lemocher mamche, and the next day he can take it and squeeze it, v'shoisa, and he squeezes out the liquid portion from the residue of the mustard seeds, v'shoisa, and he can drink this, bein biyad, bein bekli, regardless of whether he squeezes with his hand or with a utensil. And similarly, wine that has just started to ferment, calls manchu toisis, so long as it's still bubbling and fermenting, toyrif chavis bishmareho, he can mix up the entire barrel full of wine together with the pulp, venoisin latecha sudr, and put it into cloths to clarify it, shadayin loy nifreshu hashmarim min ayayin yofe yofe, because the wine and the residue is not really separated here, v'chol ayayin kigufechetu, and it's all considered as if it's one thing, the wine together with the pulp, and therefore he's only merely clarifying slightly wine, which still will have pulp in it. V'chein hachardel, and the same rule applies to mustard sauce, v'chol kayetzi boy, and any similar thing. Halacha tezvav, atechen kegregeris, the next malach is grinding. If he grinds an amount equal to a fig, chayev, he's punished. V'chol ha-sheichik tavlin v'samonim, and anyone who takes some sort of a seasoning or spice and he crushes it, or b'machteshes, in a crusher, harez ha-teichin, this is grinding, v'chayev, and he's punished. Ha-mechatech yerek tolish, one who takes greens that have been picked and from the ground, and he cuts them up thinly, as we learned in the last chapter, harez ha-teichin, this is a derivative of grinding. V'chein ha and so also one who saws wood in order to make use of the sawdust, or one who files down a piece of metal into metal powder, he is punished even for the slightest amount, since this is not for food, even for a small amount, it doesn't have to be a fig size, he is punished. However, one who cuts down pieces of wood to smaller pieces, then he is not punished unless he broke up small pieces of wood of sufficient quantity to cook, to make a fire on which you can cook a fig-sized piece of an egg. Halacha tezayin, hamerake, the next malacha is sifting. If he sifts kegregeris, the amount of flour equal to the size of a fig, chayev, he is punished. Halosh, the next malacha is kneading dough. Kegregeris, if he kneads dough the size of a fig, chayev, he is punished. Hamegabelis offer, now if he kneads something that's not edible, he takes, for instance, some earth, and he kneads it together with water to make clay. Harezatev, this losh, this is a derivative of kneading, and what is the minimum quantity? In order to fashion the a ring that's made around the opening of a smelter of gold smelters. People who solder or smelt gold to work with it, they have a special crucible, a special container in which the gold is held while it's being melted, and the after they put the pieces of gold in it, they put on a cover which has a hole in it so that the liquid gold can be poured out, and they put a clay ring surrounding that. So if you made enough clay to make such a thing, he is guilty. V'chein gibul v'ein gibur be'efel be'efer v'loy b'choil hagas v'loy b'mursin v'loy b'chayitzibem. This malacha of kneading only applies where it actually, after kneading with water, the discrete particles form one homogeneous unit. However, there is no malacha of kneading in the case of ashes, nor of course sand, v'loy b'mursin, nor bran, v'leim b'chayitzbem, nor any similar things in which they still remain discrete particles and they do not form a whole thing like a dough. V'anoisin zera shumshimin, or zera pishten v'chayitzbem, b'mayim, one who takes sesame seeds or flax seeds or some other similar thing, kind of seed, and he puts it in water, chayav mishum losh, here he is punished because of kneading, even though it does not form a dough, because it does mix up to one whole thing, and the seeds adhere together once they are wet, and it becomes one body. And therefore, even though you see the individual seeds, but they hold together in one clump, and therefore it is a kind of kneading, and he is punished. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for Chapter 9.